Welcome back, everybody. We're at Barnett Stadium in Houston as the Navasota Rattlers are taking on Wheatley here tonight in a game that, at least for the Navasota Rattlers, this is a game for everything. This is for the district championship, the patch, the trophy, and the undefeated district record. So we're visiting with head coach Casey Dacus. It's the pregame show brought to you by Gessner Heating and Air. Your comfort is our business. Coach, when you all those things that I just said, a lot of people would have looked at that 0-4 start in non-district play and said, boy, you know, I just hope this team can get in the playoffs and I hope we can have a nice run. But you've reeled off 5 wins in a row. You're playing tonight for the outright district title, the number one seed. It's pretty good times around Navasota, and you just credit that all to your staff and your football players.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we knew going into the year it was going to be a tough start because we had a tough pre-district schedule, in our opinion. And so we knew kind of going in that it was going to be a tough opener, if you will, the first 3 or 4 games. And, you know, it's just a deal where we had a – it's funny, I'm going to bring this up now, but we had a speaker, a guy named Tony Lambert, who's spoken to our team for several weeks now. And, you know, I talked to the kids, different coaches talked to the kids. We had some team meetings and some things like that along the way at the beginning of the year. And we had a guy named Tony Lambert, who's actually a post office worker, a mailman here in town. And he walked into our meeting with the kids, and he had a big old set of headphones on, the old school ones, you know, the ones that cover up the entire ear. And we were looking at him like, what is this guy doing? What's wrong with him, you know? And anyway, he walks in, and he starts saying, you know, let's go, Rattlers. And the first question he asked our kids was, why do you think I'm wearing these headphones? And the kids all looked at him like, nobody knows, you know? And so long story short, he said he was wearing them because he was trying to block out the noise. Right. And that was the message he tried to give our kids that day. And funny thing is that's exactly what we were telling our guys the same time. So I say that to say that our kids did a really good job of circling the wagons and tuning all the stuff outside the building out because, in the grand scheme of things, it didn't matter. It was what mattered was what our guys and our coaches and our players thought, you know, and what we knew we could accomplish. And so I'm really proud of that we were able to persevere. After a really tough start, it's tough when you're 0-4. As a lot of people, you know that they've been in those situations, but it's tough to, you know, kind of keep your confidence up and know that you can make a run and have a real successful year still. But you know, another thing I remember from the earlier part of the year was Jordan Jefferson standing up and he said, you know, 0-4 looks real bad right now, but what's 6-4 going to look like, you know, or what's 12-4 going to look like, you know, that kind of thing. So our kids did a really good job of persevering, hanging in there, and overcoming, you know, some pretty good adversity there. So I'm real proud of them, and I can't be happier for a group of guys than for them.
And you did it with this last Friday night on senior night, defeating a team, really dominating a team, 47-6. And this was a team that on the football field had beaten the team you're playing tonight, Wheatley, when you beat Yates 47-6. Let's talk a little bit about this football game last Friday night. Again, case to your defense. You can't credit your defense enough for what they've done this year, and your defense giving you short fields, and then your offense taking advantage of those.
Yeah, exactly. You know, our defense has been great all year long, and I sound like a broken record probably weekly, you know, praising them and talking about them, but it all starts for us up front, you know, with that defensive line and our linebackers and our front seven. And, you know, you got guys like Tyreek Houston, Tyron Press, and Jay Jones, those guys. And I could name them all, but they're all a big part of our success. And they do a really good job of stopping the run. And what our defense does probably better than most defenses that I've been around as far as coaching is we're really good at making other teams one-dimensional. And if we can get them into a situation where they have to play a certain way in order to move the ball against us, that really helps us. And I think really throughout district, we've done a pretty good job of defending the run and making teams have to throw the ball. And really the majority of the teams in our district are a lot better running it than they are throwing it. And so that's a credit to the defensive players. It's a credit to Coach Davis and our defensive staff. They just do a really, really good job, and they've been doing it all year.
I'm sure as long as you've been coaching, you probably had single players that have gotten 2 safeties in one season. But in back-to-back games, don't know if I've seen that.
Not very often. No, sir. You're right. It takes a special guy to be able to make those kinds of plays. And there's no question Tyreek's a special player for us.
Absolutely. Offensively, while the game was going on, I was saying to myself, boy, I got to ask Coach Dacus about Truman Garza more because we haven't talked about this kid enough. But, my goodness, he just picks up yards in chunks, and it's those second-effort yards that he gets so well. You think he's going to be stopped for no gain or maybe 1 or 2 yard gain, and then he finds another hole and gives you another 5 or 6 or 7 or 10.
Exactly, and those hidden yards add up. You know, we talk about that all the time. But, you know, Truman is he's really having a really, really good year, and we're really excited about what's in front of him. You know, he's got the body, and I laugh about this all the time, but he looks like a rodeo cowboy. You know, if you look at him and you look at his low center of gravity, he's really balanced. So he's like almost like a bull rider, you know, in some ways, in that he can get knocked around a little bit because he's a little bit undersized, but he always lands on his feet. And, you know, he plays that way when he has the ball in his hands. He's able to get small in the hole. And when guys take shots at him or try to square him up, they have a hard time squaring him up. And with his low center of gravity, he just kind of barrels forward, you know, if you will, for two or three extra yards here and there. So he's been a really, really nice addition for us in the offensive backfield, and we're really happy with the way he's progressed.
My knowledge of the history of Navasota football only goes back 7-10 years, something like that. Of course, your knowledge much more than that. You grew up around this program with your dad, but can you remember, as long as you've been a part of this program, them having as balanced an attack and having as good a running attack as you've brought to this team?
Well, you know, back in the 80s, in the 70s, late 70s, then the 80s, and even into the early 90s, really, you know, Navasota was really based out of split back veer, you know, and so they were always able to run the ball during those days. And when we struggled on offense back then, it was because we had a hard time throwing it, you know. And then, you know, you have some different coaches come through when we change systems and we go, you know, from the veer to the spread. And then, you know, Coach Fedora obviously had a whole lot of success throwing the ball, you know, with the different quarterbacks that we had, with Kadarius Baker and Epler and a couple others. And, you know, you got guys like Trendavian Dixon, you know, who had set records for catching touchdown passes and things along those lines. But it seems like it's been one way or the other. And I think when Coach Fedora is here, they did a good job running the ball as well. I don't think they were bad at it. I just think they were so prolific and dynamic throwing it that just kind of stole the show, you know, in some ways. But, you know, we've always strived, everywhere I've been as far as my coaching career, we've always strived to try to be as balanced as we possibly can, because, you know, you want to take the advantage away from the defense, and that you want them to understand that you can do either. You know, you're not going to be necessarily a heavy run team or a heavy throw team. It's going to a lot of times be dependent upon what you get from them. You know, are they going to load the box and allow you to throw and have success, you know, based on numbers? Or are they going to back up and be a little bit concerned about our speed, you know, and maybe lighten the box a little bit? So we pride ourselves in trying to be able to do both of them well. We've gotten a lot better throughout the year at doing both of them. And the cool thing is we're not even close to reaching our peak. We got so much further that we can go, and our kids realize that, and that's a really cool thing. So hopefully in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we get even better, if you will, and we put up better numbers than what we've been putting up, because the talent's certainly there, and we just got to find a way to put it together.
Well, you look at the stats, and this is kind of the epitome of balance. You rush 127 a game, 11 touchdowns. You pass 147 a game, 12 touchdowns. That's about as balanced as you could ask for.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that was the numbers. That's funny. Yeah, I'm glad to know that, though. You know, that's what we strive for, is to be balanced. And again, some games we might be a little more run-heavy than we are pass-heavy, and vice versa. So, yeah, so far that's the way it's worked out, and I'm glad to know that. That's a good number.
And you look at the people that are doing it for you on the ground, and you don't have that, you know, here with 9 games done. You don't have that 800, 700, 900-yard rusher. What you got is you got one with 182, a 271, 213, and 227. You're spreading that around.
Absolutely. And we got four or five guys that are capable of running the ball. And it's just one of those deals where we feel like the group, the sum of the parts, you know, all together is better than just taking one person and featuring them, because they all have different strengths. You know, you got guys like Truman, who is so has great agility and has great balance, and he can really run inside or outside, but he seems to favor running the ball on the edges, you know, just the way that his running style works. And you got guys like Montarius Love, who just kind of pounds it up in there. You know, he's more of a physical back. And you got guys like, you know, Darius Randall, who can do a little bit of everything. And so, and then obviously Jay Jones, you know, he's more of a between the tackles guy, but they all have different strengths, and we try to play to each of them's strengths as best we can.
We're visiting with head coach Casey Dacus before the Rattlers take on Wheatley tonight. Wheatley comes in here because of the forfeit that was awarded them, the forfeit by Yates. They come in here with a record now, undefeated in district of 4-0, and we described what this game is all about. Obviously, the Rattlers win it, and they go undefeated. They win the district outright. Wheatley's going for a win, and then try to get a win on their last week next week to win the district also. So, you know, it doesn't set up any better than that. Wheatley got a gift, if you will, but certainly they're going to come into this game tonight hoping to take advantage of that.
That's exactly right. You know, it's going to be a deal where we knew coming into this game it was probably going to be for the district championship in preseason. That's what we were kind of led to believe. and it's kind of turned out, you know, turned out that way. And the cool thing is no matter what happens on Friday night, we're going to know whether we're the one or the two seed. Because even if we lose, and even though Wheatley plays next week, they would have the head-to-head against us. And so if we lose, we'll be the two seed. If we win, we'll be the one seed, and it'll be done. And that'll give us a chance this next week to kind of get ahead a little bit as far as the playoffs go. With our open week being next week, we'll be able to kind of start scouting first-round opponents. And it's kind of – I didn't like the Week 10 bye. I still don't like the Week 10 bye. But one advantage to that is that you know where you are as far as the playoff standings go, and you have a really good idea about who you're going to play, and you have a chance to get eyes on them. So yeah, that part of it is an advantage for sure. But other than that, I'm not a big fan. But
you haven't liked it for 10 weeks, but a week from now you might like it a little better, maybe.
A week from now it might be all right, but you're exactly right. For the first 10 weeks I was not a fan. But, you know, it's a deal. Wheatley's a good football team. They're by far the best team in the HSD district besides us in this district. So it's fitting that it comes down to the end between our two teams. We have a lot of respect for them and what they do, and it should be a good contest.
But people, and we talked about this actually before we started talking, people will look at the scores and they say, well, wait a second, Yates beat Wheatley on the football field, and Navasota dominated Yates last week. But you're saying don't make too much of that.
Yeah, you know, you get in trouble sometimes when you start comparing scores, because matchups are dictated a lot of different ways. And, you know, Wheatley and Yates, that's a rivalry game. They're both located really, really close to one another. And so, you know, that'd be kind of like us and Brenham playing. You can throw the records out when the two teams play because it's a rivalry game. And I think really that's what happened 2 weeks ago when they played. I really feel like Yates was sky high for the game, and I feel like Wheatley was a little bit flat, which is hard to believe. But I think Wheatley kind of looked at the Yates record going into the game and thought it was going to be one of those deals where they could just kind of show up, and it didn't quite go that way. And so I think you got to be careful about comparing scores, because – in high school football, anybody can beat anybody on any given night. And so, you know, that's one of the things we try to impress upon our kids, and we try to make sure they understand that each game's got a life of its own, and you got to take care of it day by day, you know, through the week to get to that point. So we're excited about it. Our kids know what's in front of them. They understand that Wheatley's a quality opponent, and they understand that it's going to be a tough challenge.
I was looking at some of their video online, and defensively I was mighty impressed by a two-way player, number 72, DeMarcus Gray.
Yeah, he makes plays all over the place, and they play him a little bit on the offensive line as well. He goes, you know, he kind of plays a little bit here and there on the O-line, but he plays on the defensive line all the time. And he's a high-motor kid, you know, and I've got a lot of respect for him watching film. He does a really good job of kind of maintaining his gap. And they do a lot of things stunning-wise up front that kind of get him in one-on-one situations where he can make plays. And he's made a lot of them all year long, and so we're really impressed with him.
And on the offensive side, number 3 is their quarterback. His name is Gervon Livingston, and he hands the ball off to a pretty good running back, Trayvon Neal.
Yeah, you know, the Livingston kid, number 3, is a really good quarterback. He's dual threat, obviously. He can run or throw. I think he probably prefers to run, honestly. I think he likes to use his legs quite a bit. And then the running back, it might be the fastest kid in the district. I watched, you know, several clips on him. We've seen him live a couple of times, and we watched film on him. And every time I see him, he just looks like he has another gear that other people don't have. And so it's going to be really important for us to keep him in, you know, bottled up and fit gaps right on defense and don't let him get loose. And if we continue to play like we have been the last 3 or 4 weeks, I feel really confident about that.
Talk about one of your seniors every week, and this week I want to talk about a kid that's sort of new to the starting lineup. Well, he is new last couple of weeks. Tony Mallard, he plays on your defensive line. Talk a little bit about him and what he brings to your team.
You know, the cool thing about offensive linemen and defensive linemen is they're unselfish kids. You know, they're not the ones that get their names in the paper typically, unless you're Tyreek Houston and you make, you know, safeties in consecutive games, that kind of stuff. But, you know, they're really unsung heroes, guys that kind of have to hold down the front, if you will, and they don't get their names in the paper and they don't get all the glory that some of the skill guys typically get. But Tony's been a great addition to our team all year long. He has a great attitude. He comes to work every day, and he's fit in really nicely with the defensive line. And they have a little rotation right now, a defensive tackle, and he's one of the guys that rotates in trying to keep everybody fresh. And, you know, we don't drop off when he goes in the game, and that speaks highly of him, because we've got some good guys playing in those spots, as you well know. So, you know, Tony's is a great kid. I wish he wasn't a senior. I wish we had him back. But it's been my pleasure really getting a chance to know him this year.
All right. Well, Coach, you know, last year this team, before you got here, they won a co-district championship in that district. And this year, tonight, they could win an outright championship. I know they don't want to share it with anybody. They want to win it all, and it's right there before this team.
That's exactly right. You know, going into the year, our first goal was to win a district championship. And it's like we talked about in preseason, 0-4 didn't mean anything at that point because the first goal is what happens in district. And, you know, after that, you start setting some other goals. But the first goal's in front of us. We have a chance to take care of that one. And our guys know it, and they're excited about it, and I think our community's excited about it, and we're looking forward to tonight.
All right. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
All right. That's Coach Casey Dacus, and it's Navasota taking on Wheatley. We'll be back, get to the starting lineups, and kick this one off. The Rattlers playing for the District 12 4A Championship. You're listening to the pregame show. It's brought to you by Gessner Heating and Air. Your comfort is our business. Navasota football is next on NavasotaNews.com.